Open your Bibles with me this morning, the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. 10th chapter of John. Started back on Easter Sunday, looking at these statements of Christ where He says, I am. And my contention is that Easter Sunday, the resurrection, just validated everything that Christ had done. That it was the scoreboard, the final scoreboard that said He won. That what He was saying was true. That what He was saying had been validated. When He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He proved with the resurrection that He was the way, the truth, and the life. When He said, I am the light of the world, He proved with the resurrection that He was the light. And so these statements were validated on Easter Sunday. This morning, I want to look at one. In chapter 10, one that is fairly familiar, but maybe a little bit confusing for you and I. I said earlier, as we started this series, that one of the beauties of these statements are is that regardless of the culture, regardless of who you are or where you are, when you live, these statements hold true. That when you understand them, when Christ says, "I am the light." Everyone understands what a light is. It's something that even if you don't have electricity, you know what light is. When He says, "I am the bread," we understand bread. It's a staple in every culture. It's something that goes across all barriers. In this passage, he's going to say something that we may think we understand, but it needs just a little bit of clarification. In this passage, in John chapter 10, down in verse 7, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Now, I know that a door is something that, again, pretty much every culture, regardless throughout time, have understood what a door is. It would probably be scary if you would actually sit down today and be able to backtrack in your mind and count up just how many doors you've went through today. Just in a few hours this morning from going around your house, getting ready and getting outside, getting in the church, going in and out of the church from Sunday school out to here, car doors, you've went through a lot of doors. I know you know what a door is and what the basic function of a door is. A door, it either keeps something in or it keeps something out. It just depends on which side of the door you're on. But a door basically has the same function no matter where you go. But what Christ says here is, I am the door of the sheep. Now, a sheep door, for you and I, most of us have, we've never kept sheep. A lot of us, probably many of us, have never even actually seen a sheep in person. We've maybe seen one on television or something, or seen somebody dressed up like one at a Christmas play, but honestly, we haven't really been around a lot of sheep. And so, but the people who heard Jesus' statement would have known instinctively what He was talking about. This would have been something that many of them probably actually even had done themselves, that had been a door for the sheep. They would have been able, if you go to Jerusalem today, if you go to the Middle East, my understanding is that if you go there to this day, you can still see this phenomenon, this thing going on where Jesus says here, talks about the sheepfold and verse 1, climbing up some other way, and the door of the sheep. And again, they would have known immediately what Christ was talking about. But because we don't know much about sheep, because we haven't tended sheep, and we've never been the door of the sheep, I need to back up just a little bit and kind of give you the picture that that Jesus was talking about, that His audience would, again, just, it would have been automatic for them. We know what a door is, but a sheep door. What He's talking about, you notice in verse 1, this passage, when He says that any that enter in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way. What He was talking about, there's really basically two ways of tending to sheep. They would either you took them out and put them in a large pasture and allowed them to graze and to get water and allowed them to roam and to be basically, the word they use today is free range, I guess, kind of allowed them to go on their own. But you didn't allow them to go far because sheep are not real smart, which ought to be a real consolation to you, knowing how many times the Bible calls us sheep, but they're not very bright animals. In fact, I have read some books that talk about sheep and say basically if you take them and put them in a field, they will eat the field barren and stand there and starve. They, you know, if you take them to water, they'll stand there and drink till they're sick. Well, will they leave? But the shepherd basically said, okay, time to drink, time to eat. You know, that they're very, they're not very bright, and they're also basically defenseless animals. They have no horns. They have no claws to defend themselves with, and they don't have any real fangs. They have teeth, but they are they're for grass eating. They don't have any real the canine teeth. They have a little bit of bite to them, some ability to really defend. And so, basically, they are prey to almost anything that comes along. I mean, most any other animal can attack and injure or kill a sheep. And so the shepherd is literally their lifeguard, their security guard, that tends them at every turn. And what they would do is in the evenings or at other times, they would bring them into what Christ describes here as a sheepfold. Now, a word that most of us may be more familiar with from Bonanza and Ponderosa and things like that would be a corral, a smaller area where the sheep would come in, and they would be able to kind of herd up the sheep and to gather the sheep in. And what they would do, you can kind of see it in verse 1 when it says, if they come in not by the door, but climb up some other way. What, generally speaking, they would do, and again, my understanding, you still see these all over the Middle East, even today, is they would take and they would pile up rocks, and they would build a rock wall and put it around. And again, the reason would be that a regular, just a fence, wood slats or wire, a wolf, a coyote, or pretty much a dog, anything else, could just walk right under and get in and attack the sheep. And so they would build a rock wall and basically a three-sided rock wall, maybe three sides and a little bit on the front, and they would leave what amounted to roughly a six-foot opening in front on one side of the sheepfold of the walls, but the sheep would basically be surrounded by a rock wall or but one little opening in the fence in the rock wall. And when they would bring the sheep in the evening or any other time, what they would do, and he talks about it here in this passage when he says that they open, they hear his voice, and he calls the sheep by name, and he leads them. And the shepherd would know the sheep. He would know his sheep, and he would call his sheep, and his sheep would come to him. And he would bring them to the sheepfold, and every day, as he brought them into that sheepfold, he would get down, and he would examine each sheep as it came in to the sheepfold. And he would check it out for injury, for anything in its wear, you know, any problems that it might have, medicate it, whatever it may need, tend to it, you know, any needs that sheep may have, and then he would put it into the sheepfold. And he would do that with every sheep that was in his care. And then once all his sheep were brought into his into the sheepfold, shepherd didn't go home. The shepherd then would take and he would lay down across that opening in the gate. That he would lay down across that opening in the wall. Thereby, literally, the shepherd himself became the door. And so when Christ says here, I am the door of the sheep, they would have understood immediately, that the image would have been perfectly clear to these folks exactly what Jesus was talking about. That he was saying, literally, I am the door, I am the one that lays down across the opening for the sheep. And as we think about that, there are three things I want you to see that come when we discover Christ as the door. When he says, I am the door, I think, again, a lot of us, we have that immediate understanding of a door. You open a door, you go in. You open the door, you go out. I mean, that's our understanding. But there's something about the door of the sheep that we need to understand. A lot of lessons there that we can pick up. One of them is that he says, I am the door, not a door. He says, I'm the door. I'm the only door. The only way in is through me. And so he tells us, I believe, about the one way of salvation. The other thing he talks about is, he says that you don't get into the sheepfold except by me, and you don't get out except by me. I believe this passage also speaks to eternal security, that the sheep didn't get out of the sheepfold without the permission of the shepherd. But I want to look at this passage this morning, and I want to approach it from the position of the sheep. What exactly would the sheep think of the sheep? Well, what does the sheep, what does the door provide for the sheep? And very simple, I don't take, a great bit of, credit for any thought. This is simply what Jesus says. These are simply his words. When he says, I am the door of the sheep. What was he providing for the sheep? Three things that I want you to notice. One of them is obvious. One of them is that when he says, I am the door of the sheep, he provides protection. He is protection for those sheep. Nothing comes in. He tells us in this passage. He says that anything else he says that comes in, he says all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Jesus Christ says, I am the door, and the sheep said, you know what? We recognize, we understand that he is our protection. That he is literally laying down his life across that gate. He is laying himself down across the gate, and we are behind him. And if anything wants to attack us, they're going to have to go through him, around him, over him, under him. Somehow or another, they are going to have to get by the shepherd, by the door, by the man laying in the gate. He is our door. He is our protection. What a beautiful image of who Christ is. That doesn't mean that there was never a problem for the sheep. Well, obviously, Christ tells us in this passage, there's a thief wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. It's obvious there are bad things out there. There were sheep that on occasion got injured. There were sheep that on occasion would get hurt. But yet, the shepherd, the door was there to protect those sheep. And we need to understand this morning, the beauty of what Christ says. Christ says, I am there to be your protection. What a wonderful picture of Christ. I think about, and I really kind of, I almost hesitate to use that this story in this place because I don't like the position it puts me in of kind of comparing me to Christ. That's not what I mean at all. But several years ago, myself and Malia and my nephew Cameron, I may have told you this before, I don't remember, we would walk some. And it is a 3-mile path. If you leave my house and walk around, and you walk around out by the baseball stadium, back up across the lake and back around, it's 3 miles, pretty much to the nose, 3 miles. And most of it's pretty good. There's room to get off of Lane Street. There's lights all up by the stadium. But there's one section down there. And those of you who've been there know what I'm talking about. There's a section down there across Moose Road down there around the lake. And when you leave down there, there's a lot of really big tall trees. And so there's no moonlight. There's no street lights. There's nothing but the bullfrogs hopping. That's about it. Every now and then a cougar walking across the road. A snake. I mean, it's a nice little spot. And to call it Moose Road may be giving it the benefit of the doubt. Moose Path is more like it. It's a skinny little thing. And my great big 6 foot something. Some of y'all know Cameron. Y'all seen him around here before. Cameron ain't no little fella. But Cameron, just tell you about him. When he was little, younger, he didn't like spending the night at our house. Because along the way, my grandparents' grandfather clock has been passed down to me. And my great big strapping, hide behind him nephew was scared of the grandfather clock. I don't know what he thought that grandfather clock was going to do, but he was scared of the grandfather clock. And we're walking up through there one night and it's dark, and Cameron's walking along and he says, what if somebody tries to get us out here? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to hide behind you. Yeah, he's a pretty big boy. But I told him, I said, Cameron, let me explain something to you, brother. I said, to get you and my daughter, I'm not saying they won't, but I'm saying they'll have to kill me first. They'll have to kill me to get to y'all. Just that simple. I'm not sure he believed me. I'm not even sure if I believed me, but I told him that. I want to tell you something today. Here's what you can rest assured of. For the devil to get to you, he's going to have to kill Jesus Christ. There is nothing that happens in your life that does not happen with the awareness and the knowledge of God Himself. We read the book of Job and we get a little bit bent out of shape. Let's be honest. We were talking about Job this morning. Matter of fact, I think that's why Pansy threatened to hit me. And she said, did you ever actually hit me or not? I don't remember now. You know, I think I said something to the effect of ask Pansy, she was there when it was wrote. Something to that effect. You know, I don't remember. But anyway, you know, well, when we look at that book, let's be honest, we get a little twisted up about that book. Here is Job losing everything and balls and all that stuff that goes on in Job. And we read that first part and the Bible says God knows about it. Well, you know, when you look at them, you're well, but you know, the problem is we all know the first of the story. We never get to the end of the story where Job gets it back, where he has a conversation with God. And I will guarantee you, if you were to go to Job, Job would tell you to this day, I grew, I learned, I'm better because of it. Listen, the shepherd here, he says, I am the door of the sheep. I am their protection. It doesn't mean nothing will go wrong. It doesn't mean that nothing will go bad in your life, but it means that nothing will go wrong that God doesn't know about. You know what Paul said? Paul said, for what? For me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. You stop and think about that. That's a bold statement. I don't know that most of us are ready to make that or not. But what Paul was saying is, listen, the worst thing this world can do to you is the best thing they can do for you. Yeah, if they take your life, that means you are present with the Father from now on. Yeah, it's kind of like what Martin said well, about his son. Yeah, one time. And home, and no more deficiencies, no more problems, no more issues. I'm talking about his sister. No more Alzheimer's, no more pain. The best thing this world can do for you, in their mind, is the worst thing. I love the statement that says that the difference in a lost man and a saved man is this world is as good as it gets for a lost man, but this world is as bad as it gets for a Christian. Listen. He says here, I am the door. I am your very protection. Even if they take your life, he says here in this verse, he says, I am the door. He says, and I am wanting you to have life and life abundant. He is our protection. He says, I am the door. I am between you and everything else. Nothing happens in your life that I am unaware of. Nothing will happen to you that catches me by surprise. You know, I'm just... dumbfounded by those who go through their life every day without knowing Jesus Christ. How, and you may be here this morning that way, how do you lay your head down at night? How do you put your head on the pillow and go to sleep not knowing if you'll wake up? How do you do that? How do you lay down at night? You know, we learned that prayer when we were little. Right now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How do you lay your head down at night and not know that if you don't open your eyes on this earth again, that you'll spend eternity with God? How do you lay your head down at night knowing that if you leave this world, you will leave this world separated from God and spend an eternity separated from Him in a devil's hell? See, here's what I know, because I have come in through the door. Here's what you can know if you're a Christian. Here's what every Christian in this building can know this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've come into the sheepfold, if you are one of His, then you know this, that no matter what happens to me today, no matter how it turns out, and not one of us know how today is going to turn out. Not one of us know if we're going to see this afternoon. Not one of us know if we're going to see lunch. Not one of us know if we're going to hear the invitation sung. You may not make it through this service, but here's what I know. If I fall out behind this pulpit, don't believe me, because I will be protected by the door. His protection. But His protection not only gives me protection, but it gives me position. Look what He says in this passage. He says, I am the door of the sheep. And so not only do they have protection, but they have a position because of the door. You know that something, anything that you take and you put behind a door is valuable. Tell me my button's not working, I don't care. I'm moving on. It has a position. You take your jewelry and you lock it up. Yeah, you take your valuables and you put it behind a locked door. And listen, the things you lock up are generally the most valuable things, right? Yeah. You don't take that $2 costume jewelry you got and put it, well, you might if that's all you got, but yeah, you put in the vault, you lock up your diamond. You lock up the stuff Grandma handed down to you. Yeah. That's the valuable stuff too. The stuff you go and you lock up. Some of y'all remember that little car that little Nissan Datsun, depending on which end of it you're standing on. Yeah, because one end said Datsun and one end said Nissan. The other end said duct tape, because that's what held the headlight in. Yeah. Yeah. That little Linda Coffin gave me that little car. And I loved that little car. It embarrassed my wife to death. Yeah. She couldn't stand it. She hated that thing. Oh, Booty Brown. That was his name. We get in that thing. And here's what I loved about it. I'd roll up to the hospital. I couldn't find a parking place anywhere. Just get out and leave it. Somebody would leave the keys in it. Wasn't nobody going to take it. Wasn't nobody going to get near it. I would roll up there. Get out. I get somewhere. I can't get a parking place or not. I didn't care. Dogs want to go for a ride. Get in. I didn't care. It just, the air conditioning quit working. It wouldn't stay in fifth gear. Had to ride down the road, hold it in gear. It wouldn't stay. I said the headlight was held in by duct tape. You know what happened to duct tape after a while? It dries up. Wouldn't even need duct tape holding. I hit the brakes for a hard brake light for the headlight to fall out. Listen. Somebody could have walked by and, scratched it. I mean, I wouldn't have liked it just because it was mine, but it's principle. It's the old bomber. That's what I called the bomber. It got me where I was going. And back then, I had a Durango at 10 miles a gallon or the bomber at, 30 or so. I liked the bomber. But I didn't do much to protect it. I had got out, left the windows down, and, get back. It'd be raining. You get a new car, and you see these people park, across 7 parking places. I always want to call a bunch of my friends and block them in. That kind of thing. What do you do with something valuable? With something valuable, you take care of it, right? What lets me know those sheep were valuable? The fact that the door was the shepherd. And he was willing to say, I'm going to lay my body down across this door. And if a wolf or a dog or a human wants to get to these sheep, he's going to have to come through me. Not only does the door provide for me protection, he provides for me position. He tells me I am somebody because he was willing to lay down his life for me. Now, I might offend some of you right here, and that's all right, because you'll get over it before you get older. Maybe. And if you don't, that's all right, too. I hear people every now and then say something like this. Oh, I'm just so unworthy. Oh, I'm just a nothing. That just crawls up my spine. Can I tell you that? If you want to say that and you want to believe that and knock yourself out, just don't tell me, because it aggravates me. I'm going to go lie to you. Because I want to tell you who I am. You may be unworthy, no cap. Let me tell you who I am. I am a child of the King. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm bought with a price. I'm worth something. You may not think so. And I don't rightly care, because none of you are willing to be the door for me. None of you are qualified to be the door for me. None of you are willing to give your life for me. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords laid down His life for me. I am somebody. The Bible says again, I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am entitled. I am walking on the same plane as the Son of God because I am a joint heir. You know what an heir is, right? That means you're entitled to something. I like being a joint heir. Not part heir, not some heir, but joint heir. That means I'm entitled to the same things He is. What it means. What it says. I like being there. Some people used to ask me all the time, you know, don't hear this much anymore. They used to ask, say, well, what does your children think about you adopting Timsy? What about you adopting another child? I said, they're thrilled to death. Thrilled to death. Oh, really? I said, absolutely. Because they just tickled pink that now when I die, there'll be four of them to split the bills, not three. Yeah. They weren't worried about what they inherited. They weren't worried about the bills. Now they can divide them up four ways instead of three. They're thrilled. Yeah, they want me to adopt five or six more. Yeah, they want me to split up the bills even more. Listen, Jesus Christ says here that I am the door of the sheep. Yeah, you know what He's saying? He says, I'm willing to lay in because of my protection. If I am protected, I am important. You go into the bank. You know what they lock up at the bank? They lock up the money. They lock up the jewelry. They lock up the certificates and all that kind of stuff. You can get all the ink pens. They'll leave them laying right out there. You can get all the deposit slip, withdrawal slips you want. But the money, the valuable stuff, is locked up behind the door. I like that, folks. I'm locked up behind the door. I not only have protection in the door, but I have position in the door. I'm valuable because He laid down His life between me. He put His life on the line. See, that protection provides position. Once I know I've got protection, once I've got position, I've got pleasure. Look what He says. Look at that verse. When He says again, He says, I laid down my life. He says, I put myself in the doorway. He says, I provide pleasure. Yeah, listen, those sheep, I told you, sheep are dumb. Sheep are defenseless, but once they get in that sheepfold, once they get in there and they're surrounded by a rock wall with the shepherd at the door, they can lift up their head. They got everything they need. They've got safety. They are protected. They've got position. They've got food. They've got water. I think that's the reason Christ compares us to sheep all the time. It takes two things to make sheep happy. Food and water. Food and water. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, I am the bread of life, and I am the living water. Bread and water make a sheep happy. Listen, once you know you're protected, you ever seen anybody get, you know, maybe get in a little argument, get in a little fight, and somebody come along and step in and get between them? And when somebody steps in between them, the one get real mouthy. Y'all ever seen that? Y'all ain't never seen that? Come on, we'll go out and hang around some teenagers. You'll see that. Man, I have to hang around teenagers. You know, they get kind of mouthy when they feel like can't nobody get to them. You know, what happens? That sheep, he says, I'm protected. I am somebody because the shepherd's laying at the door, and it just don't get no better than this. I want to tell you something to those Christians. The door provides for us. He gives us protection. He gives us position. But that ultimately ought to give us pleasure. Listen, I'll tell you something, folks, and I've said this a couple of times during this series, and I mean it. As Christians, the world ought to know we got something that they don't have. That they ought to see in us the joy. They ought to see in us the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of our life. Listen, when Christ says, I am the door of the sheep, what that says to me is that no matter what happens today, I am protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am valuable to Christ. Therefore, I can lift up my head and sing. Y'all want to hear me sing? Just for that, I'm going to sing to you all day long. I'm going to sing louder. And better. Listen, when Christ says, I am the door, He said, you know what? He says, I'm everything you need in one simple statement. I am the door. I am your protection. I am your position. I am your pleasure. You can be happy. You can be satisfied. You know, I believe with all my heart, if there was some way to go out and some sociologist, psychologist or something, was to go out and measure happiness, I believe with all my heart you'd find out that the richest and the most, the ones with the most toys are not the happiest. I believe that. I really do. I believe we'd find out that a lot of folks that have nothing, literally, I'm not talking about some of you think you're broke. No, I'm talking about have nothing. I had a CD several years ago, and the story behind it was of a homeless man in London that slept on the streets and was on the streets all the time, and he was always mumbling something. And nobody could ever figure out what he was mumbling. And so finally somebody went and they set down a recorder, and they set it down beside of him and just recorded what he was saying. And they took it back into the studio and cleaned it up and got the street noise out of it and done all that, you know, all that stuff they do to people today to make them sound like they can sing that really can't. They done all that to it, and they cleaned it all up and they got it, and this is what they heard when they played it back. The blood of Jesus makes me free. The blood of Jesus makes me free. Over and over and over. I'm convinced. When we know that Jesus Christ is the door, and we know we've got protection in Him, and we've got our position in Him, it's not who I am or what I do. Listen, I said a while ago, you are nothing. You are worthless. But with Jesus Christ, you're a child of the King. And when you know that, you can throw your head back like pansies singing, Love Lifted Me. And you can sing it like you know the Jesus you're singing about. When you know Him. When you know the door. I found something interesting. Now, I don't care to test this theory, but I find this real interesting. We don't really live in an earthquake zone. I think we've had a few little mild ones. I slept through the last one they say we had. But I've read, and you've probably heard this as well, that if you're ever in an earthquake, where are you supposed to run? Where are you supposed to stand? In a doorway. In a doorway. They say that's the strongest, most secure spot in your house. It's got the several, generally they'll have a couple layers of 2x4s on the side, and it's got a header up above it. And they say when you're in an earthquake, go stand in the doorway. Can I submit to you this morning that when you're in an earthquake, you run to the door? When you got something wrong with your fur, you go to the door. When the wolves are after you, you run to the door. Some of you this morning, the wolves are after you. Life is hard. Jesus Christ says, I am the door of the sheep. I'll be your protection. I'll be your position. You are somebody in me. And I'll bring you pleasure. I'll make you happy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd, the door of the sheep, takes care of the sheep. You may be here this morning. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never came into the sheepfold. You don't know Him as shepherd. You don't know Him as Savior. You need to come today. He says very clearly in this one. He says, anybody that tries to come in any other way, he's not a sheep. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've been trying to be good. You've been trying to go to church. You've been trying to give an offering. You've been trying to read your Bible. Help other people. And all those things are good. But those are not the door. Those are not the way to salvation. You're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You need to come. And we'll show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ, how you can come in through the door and have the protection and the position and the pleasure that only Jesus Christ can bring. You're here today and you say, but Jimmy, I am a Christian. I know that door. I've been through that door. I know I'm one of His sheep and He is my shepherd. You know, I can only imagine, and I've heard this story before. This is not a real pretty story. But they say that when the sheep are led to slaughter, they'll take and cut the throat of the sheep, and the blood will be on the shepherd's hands, and the sheep will literally turn around and lick the blood off their shepherd's hands. That's how much they love and appreciate their shepherd. He's been your protection. Some of you, you're just like Melissa said it a while ago. You may have not stood up and you may have not said it, but I've said it myself. I know that it's only by the grace of God I made it to 50. By the grace of God, I made it to 15. Because if I left to my own devices, I could tell y'all some stories and you'd think, you have got to be the dumbest human being ever. And you'd be right. Thank God that in my stupidity, we've got a good, merciful, graceful God.
Amen.
Some of you here this morning, the door has been your protection. You know it. He's been your position. When you were nothing, He reached down and picked you up. Tommy likes to say, when you were in that miry clay, He lifted you up and set you on the solid rock. And now He's your pleasure. You need to come this morning and kneel and say, Lord, I just want to thank You for being my door, for being my protection, my position, my pleasure. But you don't know Christ. Today is the day. Don't leave here. Don't walk out that door until you meet the door as we stand together. As our musicians come, it's just you and God, folks. What will you do? You've heard the word. You've heard the invitation. Today is the day of salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're trying to get in by climbing in any other way, by any other thing, He says, then you're not going to make it in as we sing together. I need Christ. I need to know Him. I need to go in the door. I know that if I die today, I'm lost. I just want to thank Him for being my door, my protection. All through my life, I see His hand. Church doors open, whatever God, however God speaks to your heart. You know Him? Don't go out the door until you know the door. Alright, as we dismiss this morning, a couple things. Remind all the men that this Saturday at 8 o'clock will be our men's prayer breakfast. So I hope you make plans to be here for that. Good food, good time of fellowship together. But most of all, when we say men's prayer breakfast, that's what it is. Actually, we should call it men's breakfast prayer. Because we come in, we eat, and we pray. We talk about some scripture and we pray. And so that'll be Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, generally out of here just a little after 9 to give you plenty of time to get home and do your honey-do list. And so remember that Saturday. Also, a lot of you heard, and they've mentioned a couple things kind of around here about it this morning. Kmart was supposed to be having some kind of big to-do yesterday, and it got rained out, and they're going to reschedule it. The only problem is our ladies had planned on having a bake sale all in the middle of their to-do down there, and you can't reschedule bakes and cakes and things of that nature. And so they've got all the stuff they were going to sell at the bake sale yesterday left over. And all the proceeds go to Annie Armstrong for the Easter offering. And I said, so either you're going to have to buy some cakes or pies, or we're going to have some really big women around here. And so I said, because somebody's got to eat that stuff. Well, you know, Mama told you, they can't throw it out. They're starving kids, you know. And so in the fellowship building, they've got, Archie's done been through it, so I don't know what's left. Yeah, is it? Do I even need to announce this, Archie?
There's a bun.
Well, you've got a big deal over there. I'm going back for more. So.
There's a bunch still over there.
Anyway, there's a few. I think there's. Somebody said there was ham biscuits and sausage biscuits and pies and cakes and cookies. And so go out there and get something for your dessert after lunch today, whatever. But again, just don't get in Archie's way. You may lose an arm. You might bite it off. Of course, Sherry Stillman's got a pretty good stack back there. So I said, I've seen several of you walking around here with your arms full. And so I said, that's all set up in the fellowship building. I bet you could, I probably ought not say this, I bet you could negotiate with them. John Rebels come and asked me this one, he said, I forgot my checkbook. You think they'll take credit? I said, I guarantee if they're smart, they will. It's either take credit or eat it. And so who knows, you might go out there and negotiate with them. And so don't tell them I said that. But anyway, that's taking money out of Annie Armstrong. And so anyway, that's all set up in the fellowship building. And so mosey out there or run if you want to be ahead of Archie. I said, but remember that, all set up out there. Tonight, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. We've been talking about Peter and his life. We're going to talk about the anatomy of a miracle. Some of you have been praying for God to do something in your life, something in your family or whatever. We're going to talk about the anatomy of a miracle tonight. Some of you literally, you're in a position where you need a miracle. We're going to talk about that this evening. All right? As we bow and dismiss this morning, I'm going to do something. I finally remembered. I've been meaning to do this, and I'm going to do it this morning. I'm going to stand over here today instead of back there because a bunch of people go out that way that I never get to tell by. And so I decided today I'm going to catch you. I tell you a real quick story. Buster Pig, most of y'all know old Buster. Buster's about half nuts. When he was up at Linwood, up there, he said he used to have a bunch of people that would come to Sunday school and then they'd leave. And he said, I shake everybody else's hand when they leave. He said, so I went out in the parking lot and started meeting them and shaking their hand. He said, they didn't like that too good. And so those of you that have been trying, now I'm going to see who goes out the front door today that don't usually come by. So I'm going to go over here and stand. I'm not mad at you. You can come this way if you want to. Some of you might find out you like it. There's less steps over here. And so I'm going to stand over here today as y'all go out. And some of you go out that way. Yeah. But anyway, let's bow as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us, allowing us into your house. Thank you that, God, you are our pleasure. We can get together and have a good time in you and just celebrate our risen Savior that gave his life, laid down his life for us to be our door. Father, we thank you for that as we go from here. God, just let others see in us that we are children of the King. That we've been saved and there's something in us that they need to know about, something in us that they want to be part of. And we'll give you the honor for what you do through us and for us. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray.